and see how one clickable it really is, and it just works.
There's some games that are free on there right now.
Some gems. Make it happen, man. Make it happen, and then send in your entry, and we'll get you hooked up with a bunch of titles.
Thank you very much, good old games.
Yeah. All right, Kyle. Hey, stay on the line for the international panel of video game millionaires, and I will bring you back on board when it's time to go with that.
Talk to you then.
See you, man. Bye.
Bye.
Kyle Von Kubik from We Talk Games, and of course, Heroes of Gravitron. Let's continue with this video gaming tapestry. Let's bring in Grant Henry. Keith, almost did it again. Let's press a button here.
Magic suck will
connect
you.
Magic suck.
Doesn't seem like it saves a lot of time.
Thank you, Captain Obvious over there. Charlotte, North Carolina, go! Grant Henry. Grant!
Hey, I'm ready to go, man. Where are we going?
Grant, I'm going... Now, you're the first... This is the first time that we're talking to you. A lot of people trying to get a hold of you. Maybe some people don't know why. Other people probably are marking out and popping a little in their seat. But I'm going to say a series of words, and you say if they mean anything to you. First...
I can do this.
First word, Metroid Metal. Does that mean anything to you?
It means a couple things.
Okay.
Means Nintendo.
Oh.
It means metal.
Right.
It means guitar. This is kind of like those ink blot paintings, right? and apple pie. Those are the things I've pretty much come up with.
Very good.
Metroid Metal.
Excellent. Yeah, did you form Metroid Metal? Or are you the originator, co-founder? How did this all come about?
This kind of started by accident back in 2003. I decided that there were not enough rock covers of the Metroid songs specifically, mainly the title screen music on the first game. It's just such a good song. Yeah. I played it again after so long, and had played a lot of music since I had played it the first time. And so I was like, this needs to be done. So I just did it. I just took the melodies and kind of screwed up all the rhythms and put it online, and people seemed to dig it. So then I bought the URL, and the rest is history, man. So I'm indeed the founder and main dude in the Metroid Metal Apple Pie project.
You're like the Trent Reznor of the Nine Inch Nails. You are the Grant Henry of the Metroid Metal.
That's exactly right. He's the Trent of the NIM, and I'm the Grant of the MM. That's right.
And I'm the indeed. Wiggly of the trapdoor. It's the same type of thing. We release music and things like this with the spirit of the group in mind.
Oh, you know it.
But you also know it, now. So what are your main composing instruments? You mentioned guitar.
It's the standard array of rock instrumentation. You got guitar, bass, and drums, pretty much. There are a couple of other little things that show up, but it's pretty much the. It's made to sound like you're at a rock show on some other planet with a bunch of Metroids in the audience, starting pits and whatnot.
Now, what was the first Metroid that you played?
The first Metroid I played was the first Metroid back in, I guess it was 87-ish. The first game, I think, where you side-scrolling game where you could actually go left, which I didn't realize till later, I think.
Oh.
But, yeah. Yeah, so that was definitely the first one I played, and it still holds up considering that it was one of the first of its kind.
Yeah.
That was the first one I got into.
Fantastic. And and now you're also taking this on the road, I guess.
Yeah, well, somewhat. It's kind of an interesting thing because there's now a Metroid Metal live experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. And so we're not it's a crew of us. It's five guys including myself. And but we all live in different places. One of the guitar players lives in New York, one lives in Pennsylvania. So we've had to sort of pick and choose our performances appropriately. We did a really cool festival that goes on in DC every New Year's called MagFest. That was our first one, which was this past New Year's.
And what does MagFest? What does I'm not familiar with that. What do they do there? Talk about magnets?
Yes, magnets and lots of things video game related.
Oh,
mostly
okay.
Magnets, though. You can read about it on magfest.org, but it's essentially a really cool, tightly knit, kind of a pseudo con, all focused around gaming. And they do the whole slew of tournaments and have a sick room full of free arcade cabs and concerts and, you know, speakers and panels and all that kind of stuff. It's a little more lightweight than some of the bigger ones that have been around a long, long time. But it's really fun, and it's a great time, and it's a great event for the East Coast.
And, the big news is that you're going to actually be live at what they call the PAX. Now, PAX sounds like something you don't want to get, but this is actually the Penny Arcade X.
That's right. We got PAX, and we're actually quite happy about it.
And so. PAX thinks, PAX is it's a mutual admiration society going on here.
Yeah.
They're excited to have you. You're excited to have them. And it looks like it's going to be a perfect fit. A lot of other great bands on the PAX schedule. Miley Cyrus. I don't
know. Yeah. Miley's there. Yanni's going to be there. Probably not performing, but I think he's going to be taking part in a tournament of some kind.
Probably selling his CDs.
There's a pretty good pile of musicians, some from years prior. I know Jonathan Colton, who's most known for his the ending credits for the Portal game,
which
was kind of a big deal at the time and kind of made a lot more people aware of him. He's performing. Freeze Pop is performing.
Yeah, big Freeze Pop fan.
Yep. Onomatoguchi, which is a pretty interesting mashup band with chiptunes and guitars and drums, and so they're going to be there, and there's a nice pile of groups, and luckily we're a part of it, man. I'm excited to be a part of it.
I really like the fact that PAC is really trying to do something with these concerts. I mean, this is pretty heavy. It's featured prominently on their website. You can go to PAXsite.com, PAXsite.com. September 4th, 2009, 4th through the 6th. Now, when did you start playing the musics?
The musics?
Yes.
All musics? I guess I picked up the guitar probably in maybe like 4th grade-ish, but didn't really play seriously because nobody else did. I just played, video games with them, and then I ended up picking it back up in high school and just kind of went from there. So,
I see.
And during the times when there wasn't a lot of people to play with, I did a lot of recording on my own, just multi-tracking and stuff. So I gotten used to the concept of layering on my own, and so that's kind of where how the project got started. Is I'd already started writing songs and doing things on my own, playing all the instruments. So I was kind of already set up with the gear and what know-how I had to start this whole self-produced Metroid metal thing.
Right so, on. What did you used to layer, as you say? What did you use to record on? Always on computer, or did you start on a 4-track, 8-track?
Good question. I started with a 4-track, a cassette 4-track.
Yeah.
And then I ended up upgrading to, wait for it, a cassette 8-track.
Aha!
Oh, man. That's the real deal. I was an analog chauvinist for a very long time.
And it probably, like, how many minutes could you do 8 tracks on a cassette? Probably like 10 minutes, 20 minutes on a tape or something?
It's about 15, I think. It records on both sides of the tape at one time,
which is
kind of odd.
And it records very fast as well to get a higher quality, I guess.
Yeah, you always know if you found an unmarked tape and you put it in your tape player, you could always tell it's not meant to be put in that player.
Plenty of those laying around my house as well. And, of course, no way to get any of that off there anymore because all my tape players are gone.
Right. Yeah, the interesting thing is the first pile of songs I did for Metroid Metal, all of the songs from the NES soundtrack, all of those were actually recorded on that 8-track.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I did mix it to the computer. I did a little bit of basic compression to make sure it was as loud as I wanted it to be.
But
it was later that I wanted to put more instruments in. I wanted to get a little crazier with the composition of each track, and I just couldn't do it with the tapes. Wasn't happening. Plus, I mean, headphone jack started breaking, and I ended up ripping the cord out of the back of my sound card by accident and had to get a new adapter. It was just a mess. So I was like, well, it's time to put it away. So I've since upgraded to a setup where I record, of course, directly to the computer. So.
Very good. And I like the fact on MetroidMetal.com that you also have original MIDI tracks there.
Yeah, I think it's important for several reasons to compare the tracks to the original versions, because I don't. There's a lot of songwriting that goes into these songs. Mm-hmm. They're not straight covers.
Right,
they're
right.
kind of reinventions, and some of them are more accurate than others, but all of them are accurate. Like, all of them have the melodies from the games. They just may be covered in some other new parts that to try and fill things out, because, you know, a lot of these old tracks didn't have. I really wanted to do every song from the original game, the all of them, even the ones that were just kind of noisy. So I had to, you know, so but it's cool if you put them next to each other, you really can tell. And some people can't tell. Some people will listen to like a more recent track, and like I did a song from Metroid Prime 2, Torvus Bog, and I had this conversation with a guy who's like, I don't hear any of the original song at all. And I was like, well, if you take the original and you take the MP3 of the song and drop them on top of each other, they literally go exactly with each other. Like, wow. They are to the note exactly the same. But I guess it's just after you pile on all the heavy drums, it kind of drowns out any ambience you might have gotten from the original song. So
sure.
But
I thought you meant the opposite. I thought you meant that people heard both versions and they couldn't tell a difference. Because I would have kids that would come in and, you know, say that they couldn't tell the difference between the Sony PlayStation and the Super Nintendo graphics and things like that.
Right.
Right. I was like, wow, I guess there's some type of level that you get to of maturity, I guess, where your eyes sort of interpret things different. And, you know, listening to your work, you can see that your ears, I've noticed this with a lot of people too, have, you know, you understand song composition, you understand what goes into a song, the production of a song. It's not just listen to the lyrics and, you know, a guitar solo.
No, it's instrumental prog rock, heavy prog rock. I mean, it's the kind of thing where there's some people that probably might appreciate it for, you know, the fact that it's the, you know, original music. Some people might. Then there are people that, you know, are just metalheads that might like it. And then there are some that don't like it at all. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, it doesn't go with Metroid. Wouldn't work in a Metroid game. It's like, well, I'm not really making it for one. I'm kind of doing it just because I like the series and thought it. Yeah. So it's very interesting.
Hey, Grant.
Yeah.
Hey, remember that song, Metroid?
Yeah, it was pretty good, man. Had a pretty sick beat to it.
Yeah, I don't know why you don't hear that anymore.
I think it's everything comes around again, right? So you know, keep your ears on the airwaves.
Yeah. Someone should bring that back. The Metroid.
The Metroid.
Yeah. Disco, I mean.
Metroid Disco, you know, we've been looking into Metroid Polka. I don't know what you would think of that, but you know.
No, the Metroid. Okay.
All right, Stinky, get out of here. Yeah, what? You know what? It's confusing. My aunt was at a picnic with me, and I told him about this story before we did the show today, that she asked what type of music I was doing. So I got a couple albums, and they're, you know, disco punk, things like that. She said, oh, someone should bring that back. I did 9 years ago. I've been doing this.
Right.
I don't know. He gets things confused sometimes.
Anyway. Sorry.
So
it's all good.
Now, what moved you so much to make Metroid Metal happen? There must have been was there any, or is it just as simple as I wanted to do it?
Well, there are two things. I never would have wanted to cover the music from a crappy game series. So the first thing is obviously that Metroid is actually a very credible Nintendo franchise that I've enjoyed. I've enjoyed almost every one of them, so the fact that I like the games helps, right?
Yeah, I don't think there was really that bad of a Metroid ever. I mean, even a pinball wasn't that bad.
No, I wasn't a big fan of the pinball music, but I love the game. I wasn't really a fan of Hunters too much, but
yes, that was rough.
Yeah, that's a sore spot with me. But if I get emails asking if I'll ever do Hunters music, I do tell them that no.
That's where
happen.
You draw the line.
That's right.
And now, what did you find from doing this music? Did anything surprise you? Like something that you thought would be easy actually wasn't?
Well, it reminded me that. Well, I guess I learned this doing it. But this music was not written for guitar. I will say that most game music is not written for guitar. It's just not. It's not intuitive. it doesn't work on there's a lot of stuff that's chromatic, which is essentially one half step at a time each direction. That's just runs that go forever that just are not normally what you would do on guitar. So it's been kind of an adventure to not just learn but be able to perform some of the leads in this stuff. And the guys that I've got to play with me are so much better than I am as far as guitar playing. And they're both in, the two other guitar players are both in game cover bands. So they're used to this.
Okay.
They're used to it.
Right,
jumping systems and games and franchises and genres. And, you know, and so they're used to playing these wild melodies. So I've essentially given them the ones that are just way easier for them to play. I mean, I had their parts where I could only really play it, you know, once or twice and get it down and never touched it again.
Sure.
And then there's, you know, that whole thing of playing while standing up. I mean, who does that, right?
And really. Trying to rock out when you're doing it, because, you know, most people aren't doing that when they're composing. But yeah, I found that out as well when I tried to just do Super Mario theme. It's there, like you said, there's a lot of note ramblings.
Yeah, they were made with clicks and with a keyboard, or an actual keyboard, or the other kind of keyboard, not guitar. So it's kind of it's pretty apparent. So that's one thing that I've learned. It's a pretty big deal, and so when I have a better appreciation of some game covers I've heard, because I'm realizing what these guitar players are having to go through to do this. I
mean, right on.
Like, with accuracy. So.
Do you ever try an alternative tuning, like the Fripp tuning?
Not Fripp tuning, but I have done alternate tunings for the sake of playing some riffs.
Okay,
there's a riff in the Space Pirates song that is this wild, like, three or four octave diminished arpeggio thing, and I could not play it. I could not play it because it goes all the way up and all the way back down.
It's
over
Phrygian.
And over and over again. It's nuts. So I ended up having to retuning. This is completely cheating, but, you know, I didn't edit it in. At least I did this. But I tuned my guitar to an open chord, diminished, and then learned how to, and played it a different way so I could actually pull it off. Now, the guy who's playing this live can actually do it live, which is great. That's kind of nice. And I plan on buying him a bottle of something nice after PAX for doing
very
that
good.
For me.
Now, what's a stemmage I hear about? Stemmage, all the kids. They have the shirts.
Kids have shirts?
No. Yeah.
Crazy. Stemmage is my handle for everything I do that's music related.
Okay.
I have like a project of original music that goes under the Stemmage name. So
very good.
Just kind of kept that. I needed an artist to go along with the Metroid Metal stuff. And I had a blog called Stemmage for a long time, and I just kind of kept it.
Very good.
That's kind of where it came from.
Lovely. Well, it's a delight to talk to you. I'm glad I finally got a hold of you, and great to have you on. I would have liked to ask you more about games, but I got to go.
Sorry, man. Thank you for having me.
Maybe we'll have
Appreciate
you on
it.
After PAX. Tell us how that went. Tell us, how it went. Ha, 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 hubba, hubba, like that.
Right. Sure.
Right on, right. Man. Okay. Hey, thanks for joining us, Grant. Bye.
Yeah, man. Thanks a lot.
Wow. Grant Henry, we opened the show. We Talk Games number 6, of course, with Metroid Metal theme. We will close the show with Super Metroid Prelude theme, both by Metroid Metal. Grant Henry, check him out, download, support this guy. This is some great stuff. Gonna do Ralph, press the button. Long Island, go! Ralph, back on the line.
Hey, what's up, Wiggly?
Yo, man, hey, what have you been playing? I know it's been a Wii.
No, it hasn't
playing
been
the Wii Fit.
No, I haven't been playing the Wii Fit.
All right, what have you been playing for your adult 360? Adults only.
For my adult 360, I have been playing Prototype.
Okay.
Which is an awesome, awesome game. It's from Activision, and the developer is Radical Entertainment.
Yeah, now we had your buddy Kyle talking about this on the last show, but...